bit about the work that our center has done working with the 4B Subregion 3 Medical Reserve Corps, specifically on using exercises to prepare their volunteers. We've done two full-scale exercises that Brian mentioned briefly in his presentation, an emergency dispensing site exercise and an alternate care site exercise that I'll tell you a bit about today. So just generally speaking, exercises are defined as any event beyond the planning process that gather people together to test and improve preparedness. And they've long been used by a lot of different disciplines for these purposes. What I'm speaking about today is more specifically the utility of exercises that involve MRC volunteers and the unique role that they can have in orienting and training those volunteers. And this can occur by illustrating the types of roles and responsibilities that volunteers might fill during an emergency, by providing opportunities to practice working alongside people that they might not know but might be thrown into pretty stressful situations to work with, by just providing an opportunity to practice working with other volunteers and other responders, and I think most importantly, by increasing their comfort doing these things and subsequently their likelihood to respond given an actual emergency in light of the degree to which a lot of health departments I know are relying on their volunteers. Additionally, exercises that include MRC volunteers can help also to inform the public health agencies that convene these MRCs by serving as an opportunity to evaluate the functional requirements of different potential volunteer roles to see, you know, are these positions that are really appropriate for volunteers to be filling? And are there ways that they could be changed or improved? Are there additional needs for training that volunteers might have to allow them to better fill those positions? So we held an emergency dispensing site exercise with the subregion, and this happened in September of 2006. Just by way of background, in Massachusetts, and I'm sure this is generalizable to a lot of other places across the country, all of the local cities and towns are required to have an emergency dispensing site plan. And this is just a plan to guide and describe how the rapid and efficient delivery of vaccines or medications would occur to a big number of people in the event of an emergency. So the goal of this exercise was not really to fully test and evaluate those plans, but rather to practice operating an emergency dispensing site actually using MRC volunteers. And we just wanted to provide an opportunity to show volunteers some of the clinical and clerical jobs they might be assigned to describe and clarify roles and responsibilities. All of the volunteers had received prior training on incident command systems, so this would be an opportunity for them to practice using ICS. And also just the task of delivering mass prophylaxis to clients. So I just have a few photos from this exercise. We worked with a fictional scenario where there is an anthrax release in a wholesale club store with a large number of customers and employees potentially exposed. And the MRC recruited, or the health departments recruited about 40 MRC volunteers to staff the emergency dispensing site for this exercise. And those volunteers filled a range of clinical and administrative positions from triage nurse to screener to dispenser, and they also involved another 80 or so volunteers who served as clients for the emergency dispensing site. So this photo just shows the clients presenting at the emergency dispensing site. We gave them some background information on sort of their fake name, their date of birth, any medications or allergies that their sort of character was on, and as well as their exposure history. Were they actually at the incident? Did they just hear about it on the news? This shows the registration station, which was the first stop within the dispensing site. This was where eligibility for prophylaxis was determined. The volunteers that were working at registration screened the forms and figured out if patients were eligible for prophylaxis. Those who were went on to the screening station where medically trained volunteers reviewed the forms to figure out what was the best antibiotic for the clients to receive based on medications, any contraindications, things like that. Then they went on to the dispensing station, and obviously we didn't use real antibiotics since this wasn't a real anthrax situation, but used M&Ms instead, which seemed to make people happy. We also, just to ensure the overall physical and mental well-being of the EDS clients and staff, we had a first aid station set up, a behavioral health station set up. We had law enforcement and emergency medical services personnel from the local community present at the exercise, just to engage them as they would in a real event. And on the way out, the clients just received some additional information, had a chance to ask any last questions, and in the course of about 90 minutes, the emergency dispensing site saw about 200 clients. We ended up sending people through a few different times and dispensed to, I think it was about 125 people. So we just had such a good time with that that this year, as follow-up, we held an alternate care site exercise working again with the subregion as well as a local hospital, the Caritas Norwood Hospital. And just by way of background here, in the context of pandemic flu planning in Massachusetts, all hospitals across the state have been charged with identifying alternate care sites, and these are facilities like gymnasiums or civic centers where subacute hospital-level care could be provided in the event that there was an incident like PanFlu or another disaster where the current hospital capacity would be overwhelmed. And the state plan actually relies upon MRC volunteers to provide the majority of the staffing for these sites. So there are some questions about how this is all going to work. I think the planning is in pretty early stages. So the purpose of this exercise was to set up an alternate care site and to practice staffing it using MRC volunteers. And we had similar objectives to the previous exercise, just providing an opportunity for people to see the different roles and responsibilities, to practice working together, and really just to see, is this all going to work? So the night before, we set up an 85-bed alternate care site in the gymnasium of the Norwood Civic Center. We used just the shelter and camping cots that all the different towns had. They all brought them together the night before. And because we wanted to provide the volunteers an opportunity to try out all of the different aspects of patient care, not just the intake and triage, we began the exercise as if the alternate care site had already been operational for a few days with 60 patients already admitted. And this town, the town of Norwood and the Caritas Norwood Hospital, they're currently planning for a 100-bed alternate care site using the same facility. We set up the 85 cots, and I think we probably could have squeezed in another 15, but it's already pretty tight with the 85, so that was a good lesson for all of us. So our Harvard Center established this sort of command structure for the alternate care site, and the hospital personnel filled the top kind of two tiers, the alternate care site operations chief, the clinical branch director, and the administrative branch director. And the hospital also provided some nursing supervisors to oversee the nurses, the nurse volunteers, who were assigned to staff the different clinical wards. The local police department and fire department staffed the security and patient transport units, but leadership for all the rest of the units was provided by the health directors from the seven different communities, with one filling triage, infection control, patient services, patient tracking, communications, logistics, and staffing. And our Harvard Center, we created job action sheets for all of the different positions and unit protocols for all of the different units for the purpose of the exercise. So at the beginning of the exercise, after the initial welcome and introductions and ground rules, the groups broke up by unit, and each unit leader was responsible for providing just-in-time training to his or her staff. The photo on the left shows the patient services unit leader orienting his staff. We allowed about 25 minutes for that just-in-time training. And I should mention that we assigned, in advance of the exercise, the health departments assigned two separate shifts of 42 volunteers each to staff the remainder of the positions within the alternate care site, beyond the leadership positions. And then we had a cohort of approximately 100 volunteers who served as patients for the exercise. And as I mentioned before, we started the exercise as if the alternate care site was already operational, so 60 of those 100 patients just got right into the cots as if they were the patients who were already admitted to the site. The remainder of the volunteer patients presented at triage, and we gave them some background information, you know, just their name, date of birth, past medical history, and their signs and symptoms. And the triage unit staff was responsible for, based on this information, making determinations about whether the patients were eligible for admission to the alternate care site, whether they were too sick and should actually be transferred to the hospital, or whether they were well enough that they could go home. Our Harvard Center also created a series of forms, patient tracking forms, registration forms, medical records, things like that for use in the exercise. The top photo here just shows the entry to the alternate care site. We were lucky on the day of the exercise that it was nice weather, but a number of the participants noted that in the midst of a New England winter, having the triage waiting area outdoors would probably not be ideal. So this is just an example of some of the lessons that we learned through the course of this exercise. And the bottom photo just shows the trailers from the different towns that were used to transport the cots and the other supplies for the exercise to the Civic Center. And I think that this just paints a nice picture of the collaboration that was involved in this process, as Brian mentioned. And I think that, you know, in other parts of the country, perhaps this is more common, but in Massachusetts, there's such a strong history of home rule with every city and town doing their own thing that this is really sort of a unique experience. So these photos just show the alternate care site in action. And we tried to simulate as many aspects of alternate care site operations as possible. We had intake staff actually tracking beds and identifying empty beds to assign incoming patients. We had nutrition services staff actually serving snacks to the patients and working with the clinical unit staff to determine if patients had any dietary restrictions or special requirements. We had an infection control unit that was responsible for enforcing infection control protocols, distributing masks and gloves and gowns to the staff. And we tried to maintain as much realism as possible. We used quite a few real medical supplies. You can see the IV bags. We had nasal cannulas, non-rebreather masks. One lesson that we learned was that the hospital actually has very few freestanding IV poles, and so we had to improvise for the purpose of this exercise, as you see here, with folding chairs and binder clips. But lucky for us, the cots were only about 8 inches off the ground, so we had gravity on our side. And as part of the hospital plan, as far as providing pharmacy services, their plan is to set up a Pyxis actually in the alternate care site. So for the purpose of the exercise, we tried to simulate this with just a candy pharmacy to give the healthcare providers an opportunity to practice dispensing different medications as directed in the different patients' charts, just to maintain their chronic conditions and things like that. So for this particular medical reserve corps, there's a very high proportion of medical responders. There are some responders who are served more just in administrative capacities, but even so, the majority of them, or not the majority, but a number of them are either retired or don't do direct patient care as part of their daily work. So we incorporated an element of clinical refresher training into the exercise. We engaged some of the nurse educators from the Caritas Norwood Hospital to come and provide training on starting IVs and monitoring vital signs. And as you can see by the picture on the left with the, I don't know if you can see, but the IV's training arm is sort of laying in the cot right beside the patient. We tried to integrate this refresher training into the exercise as much as possible. So given the resources that the subregion and that the hospital and that our center put into these exercises, we wanted to get as much information out of that as possible. And so we approached evaluation from a number of different angles. For both the emergency dispensing site exercise and the alternate care site exercise, all volunteers who filled staff positions, we had them complete a post-exercise questionnaire where they just rated their perceived knowledge gain, their level of satisfaction with the exercise, any changes to their comfort level in actually responding to a real event. We also had the health department and hospital personnel who filled leadership positions within the alternate care site and emergency dispensing site complete a different questionnaire where they just rated the overall performance of their unit. We had clients, the EDS clients and the alternate care site patients, complete a survey just answering questions about the consumer perspective of being in these two situations. And then we also brought in external expert evaluators and assigned one to each unit, and they just recorded the key actions, decisions, strengths, and challenges that they observed for the different units using HCEP-compliant exercise evaluation guides. So this slide just shows some of the results of the volunteer survey, with the first column being the responses following the emergency dispensing site exercise and then the alternate care site exercise. And the percentages represent the number of, or the percent of volunteers who either agreed or strongly agreed with certain statements regarding, you know, participation in this exercise helped to clarify my understanding of clinical operations of an emergency dispensing site. The one that I found to be most compelling, you can see following the emergency dispensing site exercise, 95% of the volunteers felt that participating in that exercise significantly increased their likelihood to respond to a real event. So in conclusion, beyond sort of those numbers, and we're still putting a lot of the information from the October exercise, still analyzing our data and getting that ready for the after-action report, but I think in both exercises, the volunteers had some limited just-in-time training at the beginning of the exercise and really learned the bulk of their jobs during the course of the exercise. The external evaluators really noted that the performance of all of the units really improved as the exercise went on. So I think for us this underscored both the importance of regular exercises, but also the value of including a component of exercises even into real events. So if you're in a situation, whether it's, you know, a flu vaccine clinic or something like that, following the setup phase of an emergency dispensing site or just a regular dispensing site, if time allows, it's certainly valuable to take a dry run through the site, see how long does it really take to fill out the forms, do the protocols make sense, do the clinic flow make sense. Secondly, the health directors had such a great knowledge of their volunteers, and I think that this was because, even though it's a large group of 800 volunteers, because there is this local connection for each of the seven towns, the health directors really, they know their volunteer credentials, they know their backgrounds, they know their personalities, and they were able to make really thoughtful assignments of volunteers to positions within the emergency dispensing site or the alternate care site. And I think that having the right people doing the right job really contributed to the success. And then in terms of, during the exercise, we had established, you know, different protocols for how the units should work and how they should operate. And, you know, as would be natural, during the course of the exercise, people recognized ways that those could be improved and actually incorporated those changes, oftentimes in very creative ways, during the course of the exercise. So this both helped to inform the improvement planning, but also illustrated the need for flexibility in any kind of response in order to just make the most of the assets that you have on hand. And then finally, I can't say enough just the value of collaboration. These seven communities have worked together for about 2 years, and I think that those existing relationships really contributed to this success. So just in closing, with some advanced planning, I think that volunteers can very successfully fill a range of roles in an emergency dispensing site or an alternate care site with very little in the way of advanced training. And exercises serve as a great opportunity to orient volunteers to these different roles and responsibilities and actually increase their likelihood to respond, all while providing an opportunity for communities to test their emergency plans and protocols. So just wanted to acknowledge my co-authors on this, Brian Eustace, Elena Savoia, Howard Coe, and Paul Bittinger, and also acknowledge the seven health departments. And for more information, feel free to be in touch. Massachusetts, at least, people have been quite realistic about that. And the state guidance for alternate care site planning, I believe, mandates that each hospital provide a medical director and an administrative director and assumes that the rest of the positions would be filled either by local public health or by medical reserve corps volunteers. Certainly, it would be difficult without those two positions at least filled, but I do think it is realistic that we're not planning to take the entire staff away from the hospitals.
Do you have a state law that says
I'm not sure how the degree to which that's rooted in law, but that is the guidance that's come from the State Department of Public Health.